So as we're going to come to a close, not just this moment, but in this part of the service, but I've just been staring into this painting and hearing God say, I'm saying something, I have something to say, and Alyssa is the person to share what he's saying, so I want to give her that moment.
So this painting has been on my heart for a couple months, and it basically, it's Ruth at the beginning of the barley harvest, and there's going to be the back of, well, my head, because I'm painting it in the middle. And what I felt like God was saying is there are a lot of you who have come out of loss and grief and hardship, and it's heavy. Or maybe you're just waiting for your promise. You're waiting for the promises that God's given you, and they're not there yet. And you're coming to this field, and it's ripe for harvest, and you just feel so overwhelmed, because how could you ever begin to step into this? And are you even ready? And is it even there? Is he even with you? You don't know. You just followed in faith, and you're stepping out. And in the midst of your grief, in the midst of your loss, Boaz is standing there, and he is watching you. And you are beginning to harvest just what you can. You're doing just what you can. And Boaz is watching you. And your kinsman redeemer is about to come through for you. You just wait. He's about to be revealed. He's about to step out and move on your behalf. And you can't even begin to imagine the things he has in store for you.
So take it. It's yours. It's for all of us, and it's for someone in particular, but for all of us. Thank you, Alyssa, for sharing. It was wonderful. Father, thank you for your presence tonight. It's not leaving, it's here. We're going to continue to worship you as we listen to what you are sharing with us through John. I thank you that you are so palpable, and I don't want to move. Just pour into us so we can continue to pour into others as we hear your word. Go ahead, and if you want to go back to your seats, if you're out, that's fine. You can stay where you are too, and that's fine. It's John.
Stay on the floor. How's everybody doing tonight? Better, I hope. Thank you, worship team. That was incredible. I've never done this from the stage, so I'm going to try it. This is the crooked one, ain't it? There's one that leans to the right. Not my favorite. Oh, wow, that was awesome. So turn in your Bibles if you have a Bible. Or open your device and turn to the book of John, chapter 15. Just in case I get animated. Are we there? So verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give you. So yeah, welcome to Advent 4.0. The theme of Advent is the Lord's coming, anticipation about the Lord's coming. And we've gone through hope and peace and joy, and now tonight, love. And when I made the schedule, I was just putting us in different places, and I put my own name in the love category, and I thought, that's interesting, because the first three I was getting all this revelation about, but didn't really have anything on tap for love. It's not because I'm not a lover, I am, but I just didn't have anything. And a couple weeks ago, I asked the Lord, so, hey, you know, I'm speaking in a couple weeks on the subject of love. What are we talking about? What are you doing? And he just emblazoned in my heart and in my mind that phrase, as I have loved you, as I have loved you. And so it took me to this passage of Scripture, and I want to dive into this passage here. But I felt like the Lord was saying in that, when you truly know how much the Lord loves you, that you'll transform the world. You will be transformed to impact and change the world if we really, really know how much he loves us. So if we're expected to love as Jesus loves, I think it's worth a deeper look. What do y'all think? Because it's hard to emulate something without understanding it first. You ever been to a new job or something, and they say, hey, we want you to, we're hired you to do this, but today you're going to do this, and so here's the tool, and that's what we need you to do. Go for it. Has anybody ever had that kind of an experience, and you're like, man, I don't even know how to do this. Is somebody going to show me? So if you've got a great job or a great manager, they'll come alongside of you and actually take the tool and, you know, do the work for you or with you so that you'll understand how to do it. Well, it's the same thing that we're after here. Without having an experiential love, it is very hard to know what it means then to love like he loved or like he loves us. So, like being a good preacher, I came up with an alliteration, I think that's what it's called, where you have three ways, because I've narrowed it down to three just for the sake of tonight. Anytime I've ever talked about love, it was like trying to get a hold of a waterfall or something. You know, there's just, the love of God is just inexhaustible, but I'm going to focus on three main objectives in the love of God. One, that he comes; two, that he carries; and three, that he connects. His love is connecting, carrying, and coming. So yeah, in coming, you know, the Lord always shows up. His love is intentional, right? He's called Emmanuel, God with us. That even as we tell the Christmas story, the excitement is wrapped up in the fact that God so loved the world, just like Banner read that verse tonight, that he gave his only begotten son, that Jesus came to earth, right? God with us, Emmanuel. Think about those friends or those relationships in your life, parents, people that have pursued you. You know, that's true love, when they would actually come after you to be interested in your heart. And so I've got this story. I think I was like, Lord, if you just show up and manifest your love to us, I mean, that would be enough. We could just call it good. And many of you have heard this story before, but the day that we were sworn in as elders, that we were ordained as elders, it was actually, I believe it was a conference called Consumed by Love. And Duncan and Kate were there, and I just had this most amazing experience that I've never been the same. And that's that love of God experience, that it's a tangible showing up of the Lord in my life to just hit me hard. Well, what had happened was Kate had actually preached a message, and it had a lot to do with forgiving your parents. And we stood up to do an activation. She said, all right, if you're ready, stand up. We'll just put your hands out in front of you, and let's just ask the Lord to take that away. Let's forgive. You know, so we start going through the activation, and Duncan is sitting in front of me. Duncan Smith is the president of our denomination, if you don't know. Very apostolic. Very anointed fella. And, I'm standing there with my eyes closed, my hands out, and he turns around, and he goes, boom! And I hadn't had that kind of a catch-the-fire experience until that moment. And something hit me, and it was heavy. It just felt like weight. It was the presence of the Lord just hit me. And so I started laughing because I just thought it was kind of ridiculous, honestly. Like, this is silly. I mean, Lord, why would you? I was genuinely holding my hands out because I wanted to receive from the Lord as just as honest and genuine as I could be. And bam, he hits me with this weight. And it was so heavy that I was struggling to stand up. My legs started buckling, and I'm laughing. But then all of a sudden I realized, oh, you're fixing to do something that I don't know what you're about to do. And I got real scared. And I've told this story before when I preached on the fear of the Lord because that was an element. But I went down, and then I spent good. I don't even know how long it was. I mean, they turned the light us out in the sanctuary. Alan, I think, came down and picked me up and had to carry me out of there. We went to lunch. It was just crazy. So for days, I was like just drunk and weak and weepy and just moved by the love of God. I had this experience that I experienced a tangible coming of the Lord's love in my life. And I was sitting on my couch like 2 or 3 days later, and I was still just like, it was like peeling an onion. I kept asking the Lord, but why? Why did you do this to me? There was a great number of things that he did that I won't go into all the stuff. He did many things while I was there hovering on those pews there, but that's what it felt like. He was just blasting me for a good hour and 45 minutes. But I said, why, Lord? Why did you do this to me? I just don't understand. What is this? I can't even get my arms around it. I have this substance that's all over me. And he goes, that's why. And I look to my left, and my son comes walking in the door. And I was just overwhelmed with this love of a father for his son. And, of course, I just, you know, melted. And that was one of the experiences that you can have with the love of God, where he loves on you in such a way that you just get wrecked. And so I'm praying that you get totally wrecked tonight. So I'm just going to try it, okay? Boom! I had to try. Feel free to absorb it if you want to. Verse 16, Jesus says, I chose you. That implies the coming, that it's the Lord takes the initiative. He's the one that he loved us first. He loves us first. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you've got loved ones that are in bad places, you just open up your heart to them and don't shut it down. Don't shut it off, because the Lord can reach anyone in any situation. There's another story that I don't want to tell today, but the Lord rescued me when I was completely unlovable. All right, well, that is first, that he comes, his love comes. Number two, his love carries. And this is an interesting one. This is something that the Lord's been speaking to me about lately, and I've been reading a book. It's the Unpunishable book by Danny Silk. And I highly recommend it. It's an awesome book. It's Ending Our Love Affair with Punishment. You know, this time of year, as has been mentioned a couple times already tonight, it's easy to not love like Jesus loves, right? Because there's busyness, there's stress, there's anxiety associated with your schedule's getting full. I'm actually supposed to be at a Christmas party right now. I had one last night. We got more. Your schedule's full. There's the whole gift-giving, gift-exchange thing that you would think that giving would be the expression of love, the fullest expression of love. And when we read that verse in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we would draw upon that and say, well, giving is the ultimate example or expression of the love of God. But if it's the ultimate expression of the love of God, then why do we have this cultural phenomenon? All you got to do is get out on the street there and drive around. You'll see people are running each other over right now. That it actually, the whole system of gift giving, it just stirs up obligation and expectation and entitlement, and all these weird emotions come up, and it makes for, please don't hear me the wrong way. I'm not saying that gift giving is bad. It is absolutely an expression of love. But if that in itself, if just giving was what it would take, then Christmas time, everybody would be saved. I mean, everybody would be tranquil and there would be lots of peace. So as a social experiment, I don't know that just the idea of giving a gift is actually working. But it's more than just giving a gift. I would, while love can be equated with giving, and it is an appropriate expression, I'd like to propose that the greatest expression of love comes in the form of giving that takes away. And you're like, oh, he's going to get all theological on us. Yes, I am. So in verse 13, he uses that word lay down. He says, no greater love, Jesus defines the greatest love. No greater expression of love, right? No greater love has anyone than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That word lay down in the Greek, and I don't know how to speak Greek, but tithemi, it means to set aside. It's like a placement. And then if you look again in verse 16, I'm going to read it again. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That appointed word is the same word as laying down, as setting in place. So there's something about the love of God, this great exchange, right, that he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're all aware of that exchange that we get, right, where we surrender our hearts to the Lord. We give him all of our sin and our brokenness, and he exchanges that for the righteousness of God. Well, he's referring to that scenario here, but you got to think, the disciples in this moment when they're hearing it, this is pre-cross. They really don't have a grid for associating what he's talking about with the cross, just like we are post-cross, and we weren't there to experience it, so we have a challenge in grasping a hold of that too. But Jesus embodied this idea of setting aside, of putting his life aside so that you can have his life and he takes yours from you. So in his carrying away, he takes burdens. I think about forgiveness and the subject of forgiveness. That's what the purpose in his coming was all about, right? I heard that there was a piece of art that someone did where there was a wreath, and half of it is evergreen and the other half is thorns, and it says the reason and the season. And that's, we can't separate the fact that the gift of God was Jesus come. He's the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, that it was always in God's heart to send a rescue team in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So in this book that I'm reading, it's just been amazing to hear the way Danny Silk talks about brokenness in our love affair with punishment. And he talks about how the enemy has always been up to, since the garden, just slandering God's character so that we would see God as a punisher. And yet, from the very beginning, God's really never been a punisher. that it's our own sin that punishes us. There's a word that the first place that the word punishment comes up is in Genesis, in the Cain and Abel thing. And when Cain is being dealt with, Cain says to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear. If anybody sees me, they'll kill me." And the Lord says, "No, not so. I'm going to put a mark on you so that anybody who knows or anybody who sees you will know that if they kill you, I will visit that sin or that iniquity on them seven times over." So even as early as then, and in the garden in his parents' experience, God's heart towards us has never been to punish us. It has always been to rescue us from sin, but it is actually sin that brings the punishment. And you're like, okay, we're talking about Christmas here, and now it's getting ugly. I just want us to take a look at the love of God through that lens, that we understand that he loves you so much that even from the very beginning, before you were ever even born, he knew what you would struggle with. He knew the brokenness that you'd walk in, and he sent rescue. He sent help so that he could be connected to you, because in the garden, the fall, the sin separated mankind from God, and that was never intended to happen. But because we have a free will, it was inevitable. So that word punishment is Avon. And I'm going to read, because this guy does a really good job of describing that word. I'm going to read from this book. Y'all okay with me reading something? The Hebrew word translated punishment here is Avon, which is also commonly translated perversity, depravity, iniquity, guilt. The word includes both the act of sin and its consequences. Bible scholar Tim Mackey explains, "Avon refers not only to distorted behavior, but also to the crooked consequences, the hurt people, the broken relationships, the cycles of retaliation." You find this idea in the biblical phrase to punish, which in biblical Hebrew is to visit someone's Avon upon them. That is, to let them sit in the consequences of their crooked choices. This is actually the main way biblical authors talk about God's response to human Avon, letting people experience the crooked consequences of their choices. This is the meaning of the common biblical phrase to bear your iniquity, or in Hebrew, to carry your Avon. God gives people the dignity of carrying the consequences of their bad decisions. Boy, I tell you what, it's just amazing to see the heart of the Lord, that he's not the punisher. He just knows what sin will do to us. It's our own sin. It's our own choices. And in having made those choices, we would then malign the character of God. And that's always what the enemy tries to do. It's in our heart and it's in our mind that God is torturing us. God is punishing us, right? If God is love, and there is no, I'm butchering this one. This is not in the notes. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Punishment. So what Jesus has done is he's come in the form of love to pick you up, to pick up your brokenness, your sin, your iniquity, your depravity, all those things that I just read. And it used to be in a sacrificial system that the Israelites had come up with, where once a year, the Day of Atonement, they would take two goats and they would slaughter one goat and put the blood, life for a life. They would put the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat, and that would be the covering, life for life, covering for sin, for the whole nation. And then he would take some of the blood and impart to the other goat the sins of the people and send it out. That's called the scapegoat. He would send it out and bury it, take it, carry it away from the camp. And that is exactly what Jesus did for us in coming to die for us. that he took our punishment, not just our punishment, but the punishment that we've placed on him. He's borne it up and he's carried it away from you so that you are clear and free and connected to the Father. So I felt like there's more than just allowing the Lord to, it's so important that we allow him to do that. You know, when we give our life to Christ, it's almost like sometimes when we get saved, we feel like we have to pay penance. But the love of God wants you to know that you're completely set free, that none of that has any mark on you anymore, that you're completely free. And when we interact with others, we need to allow them to be completely free. You know, when I got married, I hadn't been saved very long. The Lord had rescued me from my own Avon. I had a lot of brokenness, a lot of crookedness, a lot of repercussions going on in my life that the Lord just stopped it in his tracks. He made me whole and made me right with God, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but I knew the love of the Lord, and I knew what that felt like. So I could turn, y'all ever done this before? You turn on the Christian station, like KCBI, I think it was. And I tried to listen to that all day long as a baby Christian. I thought I was going to lose my mind because there was people that would have all these different opinions, sound like they were all contradicting each other. But I knew the love of God, and I was like, no, I've experienced the love of a good father. And that was my true north that always kept me in line. I don't know what they're talking about there, but that didn't sit right with me. And it's really served me well. It served me well. I gravitate towards things that look like Papa. Now, he does expect us to be accountable. And so it's not that he just says, oh, it'll be okay. It's not that. That's Jesus actually took that punishment upon himself. And so this book has been great because it talks about just restoration and reconciliation and repentance, that's what the Lord calls us into. He's always dealing with us on that basis so that he can bring back that connection with the Father. So I was going to talk about when I got married. I wasn't saved very long when we got married, but there was a temptation after I got married to bring along my war chest. Now, we all have this love affair with punishment. We have been trained since the day we were born on how to punish one another, how to punish ourselves, and how to punish each other. You look at our movies, there's always a bad guy to be blown up. We go, oh, yeah, sweet vengeance. You know, that's how you get drawn in because it taps on that part of our heart that we want to see punishment. And it actually, Danny does a great job in linking that to our own fear of punishment. The video games today, I mean, we're training a whole generation of young people on how to punish one another. Yeah, it's all bad guys, but it's the punishment paradigm. When I got saved, I knew how to punish people. I was just like skilled in the art of cutting you down. I could say really ugly things to you. I was really good at it. And the Lord just told me, hey, look, I have lifted that off of you and taken it away. Now, if I wanted to, I could certainly break that chest back open and get it out, but I knew better. Love called me to a higher standard. I love Lauren so much that I was like, Lord, don't ever let me hurt her. And he said, okay, I'll partner with you, but you keep that chest on lockdown. The old man died when I went into the baptismal waters. I died with Christ, and I rose to new life. No longer are you an old creation. You are now a new creation. All things have become new. And we need to know that. We need to do that. To participate, to love like Jesus loves, like he's loved us, is to allow him to participate with him and say, yep, you can take that away, and you can take away all that brokenness and let him have it. I don't know how many times I was tempted when I would get upset about something in my marriage to crack open the chest and pull something out and whack her over the head with it. But somehow or another, God gave me the grace to leave that thing buried, just bury it. I think we need the self-awareness enough to realize that we have the ability to do great harm. And so if we keep that thing around, let it die. Let it go away. Keep the war chest on lockdown. Okay, number three, the love connects. It's invitational, locational, and relational. You all have that? That's almost an outline within an outline. Okay, so verse 9 through 11. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. That word abide, one of the last times I spoke, I talked about the word abide in the Old Testament, and there was two words for that there, and it had to do with ministering to the Lord. This one's a little bit different. Similar, but different. It means to stay, remain, be present, be connected. In verse 14 through 16, he calls us friends if we share his heart. He says, I've called you friends if you do what I've asked you to do. If you do my commandments, then you are friends of mine. And he says that it's the kind of relationship, not a master to a slave, but a friend that would reveal the reason why he's doing stuff. So he's an open invitation with full disclosure into the heart of God. What an amazing thing that the Lord would love us like that. That's an expression of love. You know, I've got a couple businesses and I've got some employees, and it'd be real easy for me just to say, you know, hey, I need you to bang out that fender. Well, if they didn't have any idea that the whole purpose in banging out that fender was to make a customer's life whole again, that they could get their car back because they have to take a trip to Kansas City by Friday. You know, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. The difference between saying, bang out that fender, and, hey, let me show you why we're doing this, and inviting you into the process of blessing somebody's life. I don't know if that's the greatest illustration or not, but so it kind of brings us back around to this appointed word. Remember a minute ago I said that tithemi, I don't know if I actually read the word or not, but the appointed and lay down. When Jesus said, no greater love has anyone than this, that they would lay down their life for their friend. The lay down word is tithemi, and it's also the same word, as I shared a few minutes ago, as appointed. It's like this. It's like he says, okay, I have decided to share my love with you in such a way that we partner, that you have my heart now, you understand what we're doing, you have the Father's heart now, and I am going to take my life and set it over here. Remember, this is pre-cross. I'm going to set my life out of the way, and I'm going to take yours and set you there in that place. Taking mine, setting it over here, and appointing you. The appointed is the same word as laying down. But this is a laying aside. This is a laying down. Said like this, he set aside his life to set you in his work. Your work. The two are the same, though. You have an appointment with the fruitfulness of God. The whole point in doing that is unto fruitfulness. Hey, speaking of that, January 12th through February 2nd, Catch the Fire World is instituting a fast, and we're going to invite you guys to participate with us in that. Leadership, we haven't talked about it yet, but we're going to get on board with that. The whole point, and so y'all be looking for it. We're going to announce it, and we'll ramp up for that. We'll probably talk about it more in our worship night. We're going to have a worship night on January 4th. But the whole purpose. The whole purpose is unto the lost. And so what they believe is that we're going to fast and seek the Lord's heart for strategy that he's calling us into, for strategies on how to win the lost. And so I really, myself and the leadership of the church, we feel very much that the Lord is calling us into getting outside of our four walls and embracing folks and being more evangelistic in nature. So I really think that will be earth-shaking if we can do that together. I know that that fasting is powerful. Prayer and fasting breaks the yoke. So, all right. So that setting aside and setting in, it's brought in joy. It's associated with, the joy is associated with fruitfulness, right? Because he says, don't you love that? The whole point of this, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So it could be said like this, so that the joy which is mine may be found in you. Jesus' joy is like the joy of an artist. It's like the joy of the artist that finishes the work and steps back and goes, oh, and a completed work. It actually energizes you and propels you in power for fresh creation. It's almost like it's the joy of victory. Jesus' joy is the joy of victory. I love tournament fishing, and I don't win very often, but when I do, I think I'm the best fisherman in the world, and it propels me to the next contest with all this hope that I can continue to win, right? And so the love of God, that's the whole purpose in this, is that you would experience, if we have his heart, and he gives us full disclosure into what he's up to, then we get to experience and walk in the joy. And it's that finished work joy, that work of victory. I don't know, maybe golf. Has anybody ever golfed? Golf is frustrating. And I'm not very good at it because I'm out of shape. But, boy, when you hit that driver and hit that perfect ball and it goes straight up the fairway and lands close to the green, that's all you need is just one good shot. You may have, 300 swings that day, but one will keep you coming back. It's the same thing. It's way better than that. But so I used to paint cars. Now I pay people to paint cars for me. But man, there's just such an amazing sense of accomplishment that when you lay that paint down so pretty and you step back and you go, man, I can be proud of that. If whatever you do in your life, in your work, if you can't do that, maybe it's time to find something else to do. But God's created us that we would have this sense of joy in our work and joy in accomplishing that. Even more so when we minister in the Holy Spirit and we let the love of God impact the world around us. So I got another story to tell, and then we're going to do an activation. So last week, my son's birthday, he's 23, I went and picked him up and took him to lunch. And he's having a personal awakening right now where the Lord's really working in his life, and I'm so excited. I've never really pushed him that hard because I always want it to be genuine. I want his relationship and his walk with the Lord, all my kids, I want it to be real for them. I don't want it to be dad's faith that they're riding on. I want them to discover God. But he is starting to wake up and come alive to the Lord in a new and a fresh way. And it was wonderful. So we go to a nice restaurant, and I'm going to bless him for lunch. Of course, he orders like dinner. I'm like, okay, I'm ordering dinner too. You're not going to out-order me. So here we are eating ribeyes, right? Well, we're talking about the love of God, and we're talking about this book because I'm just loving this book, and we're talking about these concepts. And our waiter is kind of slow. He's taking a while. There's two, I think restaurant people call them tops, but there's like, I don't know, is that a 20 top? Yeah. There's like two tables with 20 people apiece, so there's 40 people there, and then there's like five or six other tables in his area. And I didn't notice, but I don't know if anybody was helping him or not attend to those, and he seemed kind of agitated. He was a young man in his late 20s, I'm assuming. And I ordered water with lemon, and Noah ordered tea, and he kept Noah's tea full, but I thought, I don't know if this guy didn't like me or what, and I can see the pitcher of water and the pitcher of tea like right there. And my water is empty, and I'm thinking, I could use some water. And he walked by, and he looked kind of frazzled because every time, and the kitchen door was like right there. Every time he'd go to the kitchen, he would kick the door open. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And I was thinking not too much about it. We were so much enjoying each other's company and this father-son love relationship thing we're doing, talking about the Lord. I really wasn't paying that much attention, but I was getting thirsty. So you ever tried to eat a ribeye with nothing to drink? It's just not a good thing. So I think when he walked by one time, I was like, can I get some more water? Oh, yeah, yeah. I finally took the water and I stuck it over here on this edge of the table close to the water pitcher so maybe he'd get a hint. And he walked by another time and I had to say, hey, can I get some water over here? And he says, he gets it and he fills it and he says, yeah, I'm just really having a, you know, I didn't say he was having a bad day. He said, no, I just got all these tables to fill. And then he walked off and kicked the door open on the kitchen, and I looked at Noah and I said, man, that was not the right thing to say. All he would have had to say is, oh, yes, sir, let me get that for you. And I wouldn't have thought anything of it. And I thought, this guy's not working on a very good tip here. Punishment paradigm. And just so you know, I always tip. I don't care how bad they are. I always tip, and I tip at least 20%. But anyways, he goes and he comes to this table behind us, and he's got their chips and salsa and their water and stuff. And as he sets it down, the water glass on that platter falls off and busts right behind us. And as he walks off, he throws something at the wall and boom, he kicks that door on the kitchen. And there was another waitress trying to come out holding stuff. She looks back and everybody, I mean, he's almost causing a scene in the restaurant at this point. You know, this guy's just disgusted. And I just thought, this is not good. Nobody likes that kind of service. And anyway, so we finish, he comes out, he cleans it up, but we finish our meal, and then, you know, it's funny when you go to a restaurant and you get served, and you know it's coming, the extra sweet, nice stuff comes when they drop off the check, you know, they have a great day or whatever, you know, come back and see us, don't forget the tip. They don't say that, but I know that's what they're thinking. But anyways, he came and he humbled himself, and he just said, I'm sorry you guys had such terrible service today. I am just not on my game. And we looked at him. We were like, man, it's okay, bro. We get it. You know, it's all right. It's going to be okay. And he walked off. Of course, he was still just like, oh, I don't deserve it. He's punishing himself. He's got the punishment paradigm thing going on. And in that moment, the love of God that me and my son were experiencing in this circle, right? If you don't love your brother, you don't love God. You can't say you love God if you don't love your brother. There's a triangle thing that happens. And the Lord just said, I want you to bless him. He's having a rough day. I said, wow. So I wrote in this ridiculously big tip and wrote, God bless you on the ticket, and folded it over. I said, let's get out of here before he has a chance to thank us. So we make it, big restaurant, we make it all the way out the door and all that, and he runs us down out in the parking lot. And the guy's in tears. The guy's in tears, and he says, thank you so much. He goes, I'm just going through a custody battle right now and for my little girl, and I'm just losing it. And I said, oh, man, God bless you. I said, can we pray for you? And he gives us his name, and he says, I got to get back to work, but yes, please pray for me. And I looked over at my son, and me and him had this moment together in the love of God where our hearts were burning. It was like the joy of the artist and the finished picture, knowing that we just released heaven to earth right there. And I looked at my son, I said, there's always a story. There's always a reason why somebody's seeming like the raw evil. This guy wasn't evil. This guy was just having a rough day. And I believe that that's the love of God that the Lord is calling us into, that we would reach outside of ourselves and have these kind of experiences on a regular basis where we could bring heaven to earth. We can bring the generosity and the love of the Lord. So, with that, I think we just need to do an activation. I really felt like that, and I guess this would be a good time, Shannon. Thank you, brother. I felt like the Lord said that he wanted to release a new measure of his love tonight, that we would have a tangible experience of the love of God. But I think that there's also an opportunity for us to just clean house a little bit as far as forgiveness goes, that there would be a forgiveness activation. So Why don't we just take a moment, if we could just close our eyes and get quiet before the Lord. And why don't we just ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, would you quicken in our heart and in our mind anyone that we have unforgiveness going on in our life towards? The Lord brings anybody to mind, let's just pray. Jesus, we're so grateful for your love, Lord, for how you care. You bear up our sin. You bear up not just our sin, but all of the fallout, all the repercussions, all of the damage that takes place in relationships and in our personal lives, Lord, even our finances is... Every way that sin has damaged us, Lord, you have picked that up and carried it away from us. And Lord, anywhere that we've picked any of that back up and we've punished ourselves because of something we may have done or said wrong, Lord, first, we just choose to allow you, Lord, to carry that off. We step into your forgiveness. So yeah, if the Lord's brought someone to your heart or to your mind, I would just recommend that you just say, Lord, I forgive, fill in the blank. I just release them from my desire to punish. You're free to go. They owe me nothing. Just choose to bless them right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you pour back into their lives the grace of God, the love of God, that they would know the salvation of the Lord Jesus, that they would experience that forgiveness that takes away, or the gift that takes away. The greatest gift ever. Get some ministry team, maybe some leadership to come forward. If the Lord's speaking to you in any way, shape, or form about this, just, I feel like making some sort of a move that it's appropriate to just stand up, come up front, let us lay hands on you and pray for you. So wonderful. Holidays are times when, if you do have a hurt or a offense with somebody in the family, it sure is hard to get together and have a Christmas party when those things seem to really stand out this time of year when getting together is what we do. I recently had a family member that we just kind of were at odds for about a year. And man, that's horrible. And it really all it was just needing the opportunity to clear our hearts. And the Lord was able to just bring us together, and now we're like peas and carrots again. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. The forgiveness of the Lord is contagious. And it sets us free. We think we're punishing somebody else, but really just punishing ourselves. So let's just put our hands out in front of you like this, palms up. Lord, thank you for your love. So if you have anything going on in your life that you'd love for someone to pray with you about, please come up, and one of these guys would love to bless you and pray over you. Our service. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. We will see you on Christmas Eve. Yes. Happy Advent.